The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
We cross the bridge, and the first thing you have is you go through, do you have anything to declare or not? So I pull in the declare because I wanted to declare the cats, and I pulled into the line. There was nobody there. I get out. There's a guard there with a big, big gun. And I meet Luke, say, dos gatos, two cats. And he said, yes, you're in the right line by hand signals. Eventually, 4 or 5 minutes later, someone came over. I showed him all the paperwork. He vaguely looked in the car. He really didn't look at the cats. And then we drive out. And I'm going, oh, what next?
Welcome to the Repurpose Your Career podcast, brought to you by Career Pivot. This podcast is where those of us in the second half of life come together to discuss how to repurpose our careers for the 21st century. Come listen to career experts give you proven strategies, listen to people like you tell their stories on how they repurpose their careers, and finally, get your questions answered. Your host, Mark Miller, has made 6 career pivots over the last 30 years. He understands this is not about jumping out of the frying pan into a fire, but rather to create a plan where you make clear, actionable steps or pivots to a better future career. Are you ready to repurpose your career?
Welcome to episode 86 of the Repurpose Your Career podcast. My name is Mark Miller, and I'll be your host every Monday for a discussion on what it's like to repurpose your career. If you're enjoying this podcast, please share it with other like-minded souls. The more people we can reach, the more people we can help. So consider subscribing on careerpivot.com or iTunes or share it on social media or just tell your neighbors and colleagues. Please spread the word. Next week's episode should be the third episode of the Can Juan Repurpose His Career. But that's not in the can yet. So if it's not ready, we will play an encore interview of one of my favorite career pivoters, Michael Krent. So we'll see. This week's episode will be about driving to Mexico the last week of June. Now, you may see that the audio on this is a little different. I'm in Mexico. I'm in the house just outside of Ajijic. And you may hear some birds or dog barking or possibly who knows what other sounds you will hear. We'll see. Let's go with it. So I hope you enjoy this episode. This story starts on June 20th as we're packing the car, getting ready to leave for Mexico on the 21st. Now, the reality is my wife and I are polar opposites. My wife is a highly emotional person, and I'm a recovering engineer. So as things popped up that we couldn't take, things like we didn't have room to take my wife's slow cooker in the car. We didn't have room for the Vitamix blender. We had a lot of food supplements that my wife takes, and they got precedent. For me, that was a problem, just another problem to solve. For my wife, this was emotionally jarring. So there were a lot of pre-trip jitter. Then there were the warnings from my son and daughter-in-law, both who work for the U.S. government. One works for the Defense Department. My son works for the Navy, and my daughter-in-law works for the Defense Department. And they're telling me, you're driving into Zeta country. This is dangerous. And the answer is no, it's not. And as you'll see, it's one of the reasons why I hired JP to drive us down, a driver from Ajijic. Right beforehand, I managed to buy car insurance, and I have a former client who actually goes down fairly regularly to Mexico. She's actually was born in Mexico, and she told me all the good stuff and the right things to do. We got the car all packed on the next day, on Thursday. And around 11 o'clock, we started our drive to Laredo. Now, it's a 3 to 4 hour drive. It's not a terribly long drive to Laredo, but halfway there, our one cat, Rex, kind of got a little panic attack. And he was panting, and of course, my wife was getting all upset. We need to take him to a vet. And I said, just calm down. He eventually curled up at my feet as we drove. And that night, we arrive in Laredo. We had a room at a La Quinta on I-35. And those familiar, I-35 is the major north-south road in Texas. We had an interesting night. We've never traveled with cats before. And both of our cats, both Jack and Rex, are quite large. They're on the 14 to 15 pound size. And they're not fat. They're big. So we spent the night. I was texting back and forth with JP to make sure we knew exactly what bridge to cross, because there are like five of them in Laredo to cross into Mexico. And we were supposed to cross bridge number one in Laredo, and I made sure I understood from JP which exactly one of those was. And we crossed the bridge, and the first thing you have is you go through, do you have anything to declare or not? So I pull in the declare, because I wanted to declare the cats, and I pulled into the line. There was nobody there. I get out. There's a guard there with a big, big gun. And I meet Luke, say, dos gatos, two cats. And he said, yes, you're in the right line by hand signals. Eventually, 4 or 5 minutes later, someone came over. I showed him all the paperwork. He vaguely looked in the car. He really didn't look at the cats. And then we drive out. And I'm going, what next? This is incomplete. I haven't shown anybody passports. I haven't shown anybody anything. And that's where we meet up with JP. And then we drive around to the immigration building, which was a convoluted drive. I would have never found it on my own. Quite fascinating. And there's only one immigration building for all five of the bridges. So we get out of the car. The cats are in the car. We make sure it have appropriately cool in there. We start filling out the pretty standard immigration forms that I've been all over the world. So these are pretty standard stuff. You actually have to go to multiple places to get this done. There is now a tax on entering Mexico of 533 pesos, which is about $25, which I thought was rather interesting. I've never paid a tax coming in. So, and then we went to get the TIP, the temporary import permit for the car. And boy, was this convoluted. I had copies of everything, of my title and registration, and I had copies of my passport and copies of my driver's license. I just had copies of everything. My insurance. I had copies of everything. I still had to go pay a little bit to get copies of our immigration documents that we had just filled out and been approved. And they have a little copy center there for you to do that. And you pay a small amount. Unfortunate, we came back the previous times with pesos. So I had about 1,000 pesos or about 50 bucks. All in all, from the time we got to the bridge till we finished, it was probably in an hour. That's when we started driving to Matehulia, which is the halfway point. Now, JP is driving us. He knows where he's going. And what I'm doing is because of my son and daughter-in-law is I'm periodically taking screenshots off Google Maps and texting them to my daughter-in-law and son. So they know where we are because they were very, very worried. I was not worried in the least. Basically, the entire trip was done on toll roads. And every expat we've talked says it's very safe. And even after talking to my daughter-in-law the one day, she finally realized the route we were taking is the route that the State Department approves of. But we get on, and boy, there were trucks and more trucks, mostly going north towards the border into the U.S. Rather interesting, when we crossed bridge number one in Laredo to go into Mexico, very short lines going to Mexico, incredibly long lines going into the U.S. Part of that is the security of everyone coming in. I'm sure the Trump administration had something to do with that. And there are a lot of Mexicans who cross into the U.S. every day to go to work. So it's not that simple. But the process of going across the border, wow, this was convoluted. And it was, I wouldn't have figured it out by myself. So we hop on, and it isn't until you reach about 30 miles in do you finally go through immigration, or do you finally run into the actual formal immigration. And what happens to a lot of people is they drive across the border, they don't go to the immigration office, and they just keep on driving. And when they finally hit the 30-mile mark, people, they turn them around and send them back. A lot of this because the border area, there's a lot of frequent going back and forth. These towns, Nuevo Laredo and Laredo, are very tied to one another for shopping, all kinds of things. As we're going down, we're paying tolls and tolls and more tolls. I have not added up the total amount of tolls we paid in 2 days, but probably exceeded over $100. In general, the roads were very good. One of the interesting things I soon learned is I kept on seeing cows and horses in the medians and on the side of the road. And I looked at JP and I said, why are there all these cows and horses? And his comment to me is, it's free grazing. So a lot of folks tether their animals out in the highway. Now, rather interesting, one of the things I had learned from everyone on Facebook and other places was, when you're in Mexico, don't drive at night. And you may think, oh, because it's bandits and other things. No, because of these animals wander on the road at night, and you don't want to hit one. We're driving along. As we enter central Mexico, it's gorgeous. Now, it's high desert. As we are climbing and climbing and climbing, one of the things you quickly notice as you pass trucks, a lot of these trucks are going up these hills at 10, 15, 20 miles an hour. There are no way stations as we go along. These trucks are very overloaded, and they're going up the road. We're going on this first day. Again, I'm regularly texting Google Maps to my son and daughter-in-law, and we are going to stay at Las Palmas. It's a 1950s motor hotel in Matehula. And don't ask me if I'm pronouncing that right. And this is the place that almost every expat stays, because halfway there, it is pet friendly. By the way, so many expats, when they move to Mexico, they are bringing their animals. They're bringing their cats, their dogs. By the way, it's very easy to bring your cats and dogs across the border. So we stay there. Again, our cats did okay. Again, Rex, who freaked out the first day, kind of freaked out day two, the end of day two, when we put him on a little leash. He didn't much like this. Yes, we went and visited Walmart down the street. Yes, there was a large Walmart in Matehula. And Matehula is not a big town. But Walmart is everywhere. We spend the night, we eat at the hotel, which was actually very good. The cats, we kind of got them settled down. And Saturday morning, we depart for a hee-hee, or a hee-hee. This is where things got interesting. About halfway there, we stopped at a rest stop to go to the bathroom, get a cup of coffee, get a bite to eat. That Saturday, Mexico was playing, I believe, South Korea in the World Cup. So JP was listening to the game. I said it was okay. He had it on in Spanish. I didn't understand a word was going on, except I knew when someone scored, because immediately it was, goal! I do a very poor impersonation of the announcer, but you get the picture. When we stop, JP decided to turn the car off rather than leave it on with the air conditioner and listen to the radio. Well, probably the headlights were left on, which is not uncommon. I always find it, I have a 2015 Subaru Outback, and I always have a hard time understanding when the headlights are on or off or whatever. And when we went to start it again, it wouldn't start. The car battery had died. Now, it took me a while to, I figured out quickly the battery was dead, and JP flagged down somebody who could jump us, a young guy in a beat up old Mazda. And I asked, I said, so does everyone carry jumper cables in their car in Mexico? And JP says, yep, everybody does. Because what you quickly find is if you have money, you have a nice car, but most people don't. So most people don't have cars. And if they do have cars, they're old ones and they need jumper cables, which was interesting. We arrive fairly late afternoon in a hee-hee. We settle in. We start shopping on Sunday. We went to look for a blender, a slow cooker. We made our plans to visit Chapala Market Day. Yes, we bought a blender. And a, we bought the blender at Walmart. And the slow cooker, we found, it, believe it or not, a roughly equivalent of a dollar store in the center of Ahihi on the square, and an absolutely fascinating place. They had all kinds of weird stuff in there, very inexpensive. Since then, I've had to buy a Wi-Fi extender. I just bought a cat tree for our cats. Most of the money we've spent just kind of getting us settled in for the long term because there were things that we couldn't put in the car. We're settled in. As I said, we were going to go to Chapala Market Day, which is Chapala is about a mile from Ribieras del Pilar, which is the little kind of community. It's mostly expats that we're living in. We have a one bedroom, 800 square foot house that we're renting for $620 a month. When we went in, I was able to get a kilo of strawberries, so 2.2 pounds of strawberries for 25 pesos or a dollar and a quarter. We've been buying chickens, whole chickens. That's been a real scream. We found a vendor there that will, we can buy literally a 3-4 pound chicken that was killed that morning. It's whole. The lady chops off the head, cuts the thing up for us, decide whether we want the innards. My wife wants the feet because she makes broth from it. And it's just a, it's a sensory experience being there. If you'll read a couple of weeks ago, and I'll put a link in the show notes, I wrote a blog post right after we got here about the business aspect of, yes, I've had to learn about, we're not exactly in the best place for internet. I'm certainly not in a good place for cell phone service. I'm kind of stuck between, I'm in a dead spot to some extent for AT&T between two of their towers. So I don't get LTE service, data service, I get it 3G, but that's working out okay. I'm kind of working through the problems, but go back and check that post and you'll learn more about the business aspects. But we are, we've got settled in. I'm recording this on July 3rd, and we've been here about a little over a week. The cats are finally settled in. I said, I just went out and bought them a cat tree today. And this has been, we're settling in for the next 12 weeks. And we've also discovered that we really need to get hopping about finding a long-term rental for later this year. Let me finish out this episode and talk about my decision to hire a driver from Laredo to Ahihi. In my career, I have been in the wrong place at the wrong time in foreign countries more than once. I was in the middle of the SARS epidemic in Guangdong province in China. Similarly, I was in China during the spy plane scandal back in 2003-2004. I've had various other times where I've been very glad I had local support. I made the decision that I was going to hire JP, who we met when we were down here in March and April, to drive us to Ahig from Laredo. And boy, am I glad I did that. The level of stress it reduced was incredible because my wife is a lousy navigator. I'm in a country where I don't understand how the toll roads work. I don't understand how people drive, and they drive on the highways very differently than we do. And so the rules and etiquette. Two, I had a lot of good time talking to JP about a lot of things related to, you know, Mexico and the U.S. And like one of the questions I got answered was, you know, the exchange rate of the peso is down quite a bit. The U.S. dollar is very strong. And I said, so how does that affect you? And he said, immediately gas prices. Mexico, after NAFTA, started shifting a lot of their petroleum refining to the U.S. It's a big petroleum country. And so now cheap petroleum goes to the U.S. and comes back as expensive gas. And they really see that here. Gas is very expensive here. I say when I filled up the tank of my Subaru in the U.S., it's about $30 to $35. When I filled it up with a three-quarter tank in Matehula, it was probably closer to $50 to $55. So a significant difference. One of the other things that affected NAFTA is my readings here is before NAFTA, Mexico was a corn exporting country. They are now a corn importing country. And one of the things that has happened here is all of the high fructose corn syrup that has come into the country and American fast food. Now there is an obesity epidemic here that wasn't here before NAFTA. So there are all these unintended consequences of these trade pacts. So it's rather interesting. But I had time to talk to JP, who's just a guy in his late 30s with a couple, three or four teenage daughters, a really good guy. And so it's understanding the culture. It's a similar, I had the discussion of what's going on here on the north shore of Lake Chapala. As lots and lots of expats come here and they drive up prices. Housing prices, rental prices. A lot of the local Mexicans are being priced out. Sounds very familiar from what's going on where I live in Austin, Texas. I hope you have found this episode interesting and look for more in the coming weeks. As I said, check out my blog post from a couple of weeks ago. So with that, thank you very much. I hope you enjoyed that episode. I'm getting a lot of feedback that people are enjoying the process I'm taking. If you have any questions, please feel free to leave them in the show notes at careerpivot.com/episode-86. I'll probably do one of these episodes about every other month. So the next episode will probably be getting close to when we plan on returning, and we should have some news about long-term rentals versus short-term rentals. We're discovering we're going to have to get real nimble. So please pick up a copy of Repurpose Your Career, a practical guide for the second half of life at Amazon.com or any of the other fine online retailers. When you complete reading the book, I'd very much appreciate if you'd write an honest review on Amazon.com. The audio version of this book is now available on iTunes, Audible, and Amazon. Lastly, I'm working on the Career Pivot Community website. The website is in production. Probably by the time this episode airs, I'll be finishing up bringing in my fifth cohort, which should bring us to about 50 members. If you're interested in learning more about the endeavor and would like to be in a future cohort, please go to careerpivot.com/community. When you sign up, you'll receive more information about the community as it evolves. It's those that are in these initial cohorts get to set the direction of this endeavor. Basically, I am listening to the people who come in and saying, what do you want? How can I help you? This is a paid membership community where I'm offering group coaching, special content, mastermind groups, branding sessions, and more importantly, it will be a community where you can seek help. Please go to careerpivot.com/community to sign up to learn more. Check back next week when I will be either airing the third part of Can Juan Repurpose His Career or an encore episode of my interview with Mike O'Krent, which is a fascinating story because Mike has a business called Life Stories Alive and how he went from the carpeting business to essentially interviewing people for their life stories. Thank you for listening all the way to the end of the Repurpose Your Career podcast. You'll find all the show notes at careerpivot.com/episode-86. Please hop over to careerpivot.com and subscribe to get updates on this podcast and all the other happenings at Career Pivot. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or Spotify. I hope to see you next Monday for another episode of Repurpose Your Career podcast.
JCPenney, we make fashion count for everybody and everybody. Get pieces that fit and flatter at prices that feel good. Mix easy on cargos with breezy tops or polish your look with soft suiting. Step into JCPenney brands that get you, like St. John's Bay and Worthington, each in women's petite and plus sizes too. Guys, you're good to go in brands like Mutual Weave, J. Farrar, and Stafford. Style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.